to cancel culture, hookup culture, or victim culture?
Well, neither could we. We created this platform for those other girls. Girls like us who want to give a different perspective from a Christian and conservative worldview.
We talk about life, work, relationships, pop culture, and everything in between. So let's be those other girls that just don't talk about culture,
but change culture.
This is Those Other Girls with Mallory and Friends. And we are a hilarious pop culture podcast. It's not like other pop culture podcasts. And we giggle and laugh a lot. And today we have Melanie Slayazar on with us. If you're new to the show, welcome. welcome, Melanie Slayazar.
Thank you for having me. Happy to be here.
So, Melanie is a friend of the show. She's one of my close companions, and nothing less. Freeman, you do not have to edit this out. Freeman is not with us for this episode right now, but she will be back next week. Anyway, Melanie is on, and she's a friend of the podcast. We've had her before. She's very knowledgeable on the life issue, fertility awareness, and she's just an all-around funny person. Love to get her opinion on things. She's incredibly animated. This is definitely an episode you're going to want to watch on YouTube or Rumble or Spotify. For those who don't know, if you have a Spotify, you can also watch Spotify video.
Yes,
that's the only podcast platform that allows video. So Spotify video, if you'd like to watch that. What's going on with your straw there?
Oh, this, it is meant to help my lips to not wrinkle around the straw. Because normal straws, if you're always drinking a straw, you can get smoker lines, like smoker wrinkles. So this straw is special to help me not get those like smoker wrinkles on my lips.
Interesting. And Melanie's really into skincare and things like that. And if you know anything about me, I could not care less. But it's really good and not. She's very knowledgeable about that stuff. And I've tried some of her equipment. She has like really cool equipment. I've tried it. It stung me, but you know,
a bunch of gadgets and gizmos.
Yeah. You should follow her if you're really into skincare.
Yes.
So let's like start talking about the show. Anything exciting happening in your life currently? It's been almost a year since you've been on. Anything
exciting? Nothing much other than I'm pregnant. Woo! I have a human growing inside me. Yes. A baby.
That's exciting.
A baby.
So
date is May 25th.
May 25th?
Yeah, that's the due date that we were given.
Okay. Okay, that's exciting. Yeah. That gives me time to like prepare, because obviously I would like to come visit.
Yes, totally.
Okay, good. As I was saying, I was like, you know what? That would be so awkward if you were like, oh, I actually don't want you to come visit while I was saying it.
Why not? What the heck?
No, I don't know. Some people are weird
about
that.
Community. I would love a community of people to help me. I feel like that's how we lived for many years of community.
Melanie, I can go on a rant about this. I was actually talking to some of my friends about this. And I think one of them, like some of them were joking, but I was like dead serious. Uh-huh. I would love to, one of the girls brought it up and I said it's a great plan. Like, she was like, oh, it'd be fun if we, like, bought a neighborhood and all live near each other. And I'm like, not only would it be fun, it would make a lot of sense. It'd be very helpful for us, for our children, for our families.
Totally.
And one of our friends is a nurse. One of our friends is, well, another one of friends, like, IT. I'm sure that's useful for something, no offense. But, like, you know, like, it'll be good to have, like, yeah. We all have different... One of our friends is a teacher, so it'll be good that we all are in there. Let's say, you know, I'm pregnant with our fifth child. We already have four other kids. I don't want to bring the other kids to sit there and watch us as we're going to the hospital. Okay, so I drop my kid off at my friend. Hey, it's like 2 a.m. Hey, I'm having the baby now. Please watch our other four. You know, it's just so much better when you are living in a community. And I think it makes the experience of life better. It helps your family. It helps your kids. I think it'll be like less depression. You can actually, you can take walks together. When my my great-grandma was a part of like a club, and recently, so she actually died in 2020, and they had this big celebration for her, I want to say about a month ago, and some people, she was 103, and some people were talking about,
I know.
And that also means it's in my genes. So a lady was talking about that lived in the neighborhood with her, and she was saying how they would all walk together, and just hearing like how, because it was like one of those old fashioned neighborhoods where everybody knew each other, and they would walk together. And like, if the ambulance came by someone's house, the neighbors would all come out and see how they could help, that type of thing.
Oh, wow. Uh-huh.
And she was talking about that, and I was like, that's really like, that's how it should be. That's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah, totally.
No. Yeah. So I can't wait. I'm excited. So I want to share how I found out. If you follow me on Instagram, you not well, I hate to make this whole thing about me. But I, if you follow me on Instagram, I shared it already. But let me like paint a picture for you. So
it's a funny story.
It is a funny story. And it was a crazy coincidence that I actually wasn't working. I was at the library, right?
Right. I didn't even think of that. I just thought, let's just attempt to call her. Like, let's just take a chance.
Yeah. I should have been working at the library. Yeah, literally in the middle of a work day. But I had that day off. I was at the library. And I get a FaceTime. And, like, realistically, like, normally I'd be like, I just ended and be like, hey, can't talk right now at the library. But I was like, you know what, whatever, I'll answer it. Which was also kind of, like, weird. Like, why am I answering it at the library? So, like, I walk kind of off to the side. I'm like, hey, guys, what's up? And it was Melanie and Jerry. And Melanie goes, yeah, you know, yesterday was Jerry's birthday. And in my head, I'm like, I know she did not just call me to tell me it was Jerry's birthday. I thought I did tell him happy birthday, but okay, if she wants to talk about that, that's fine.
No, the day we called you, it was his birthday. And it was
Right. So, but I feel like either way, I feel like I did say something to him.
Hey, it's Jerry's birthday. Anything else?
I was just like, oh, that's interesting. Happy birthday, Jerry. Like, that's fantastic. And then, like, all of a sudden you go, and you're going to be a Tia. I'm pregnant. And it took me a minute. And then I was like, oh, like, literally my mouth dropped. I, like, started tearing up. It was just crazy.
Not
and then,
even up crying, actual tears flowing out of your eye sockets, like tears flowing.
And it was exciting. Like, I was really I was shocked. I legitimately was shocked. The funny part though was, so remember, I'm in the library, like near the bathroom door, kind of just like trying to be like quietish, and a lady comes over and is like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. It's like, you know, tears are falling down. Everything's good. And I guess, you know, you're not supposed to be like loud at the library, but I was so happy for you.
Yeah, you were. I feel like you gave one of the most genuine and joyful reactions that I was hoping for when calling people. We wanted to call all of our friends who don't live in our nearby cities who were going to come to our birthday party, because then originally the party was a happy birthday Jerry / going away party for us since we're moving. And then it turned into, well, now all of our closest friends, or most of them, are going to be in one place. Let's tell them, like, let this be a birthday party / going away / pregnancy announcement party. And so then it was a matter of wanting to call people who we knew, like, are not going to be at the party. So I called my close companion in North Carolina. Had to do it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm really excited. I felt honored that you called.
Auntie Mallory, or what do you want to be called?
Auntie Mal.
Okay.
Yeah, Auntie.
Auntie
yeah.
Mal.
That's what everyone else's kids calls me. So we'll just stick with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That is not the end game.
Yeah. Yeah. There's people. So for example, like Khloe Kardashian, who I wouldn't say is a role model, but they call her Coco. And I'm like, oh, that's so cute. But I don't have like a. I have a cousin whose name is, what is her real name? I think her real name is Michelle, but everybody calls her Mickey. I'm like, oh, that's so cute. Like, her nieces and nephews call her Auntie Mickey. I'm like, that's so cute, but I can't think of anything other than Mal. So Mal is fine. So, yeah.
Mal? Mal Pal?
Mal, no, that's a little.
Mally?
No, no.
Okay, I had sticking with Auntie Mal.
I think Auntie Mal. In my freshman year of high school, I took a drama class. Me and like three of my friends took a drama class, and it was all juniors in that class. I don't know how we got into that class. And one of the guys started calling me Lori, and I was like, okay, why? He said, everybody's calling you Mal. I'm going to call you Lori, because like Mal, Lori.
And Mallory.
So, yeah, I thought that was so funny.
It was
funny.
The most creative it's gotten.
The most creative. And, like, that would be too confusing.
And did you start responding to Lori? Like, would you?
I did. Because I thought that was funny to me. It was funny. And he was the only one that called me that. Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah. So, everybody's calling you Mal. I want to call you Lori. I was like, okay. That's different. That's different.
Mal Lori.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay, well, I guess we should, nothing really, one exciting thing that happened to me this past weekend, I went to a bachelorette, and we went to Savannah, and we went to the absolute cutest, I already posted about it, because I'm, like, going to keep raving about it, the absolute cutest perfume store. Well, actually, it was a soap store. They had bath bombs, and you can make perfumes and candles, and for people who are okay with fragrances and scents, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun, and it was pink, and they had, like, a poodle that was, like, painted pink, and I just had a really good time. Like, that type of stuff is, like, right up my alley. There's a place I keep getting ads for in Charlotte where you can make your own lipstick or lip gloss.
Whoa, cute.
And I want to do it really badly. So that'd be a fun TOG meetup, maybe. Maybe. Let me know if that's something you guys would be interested in.
Totally.
Okay, let me get through some announcements real quick. We actually have a lot of stories. Oh my goodness, we've already been talking 13 minutes. Okay, we actually have a lot of stories. Announcements. We have merch. We have a blog. We need writers. If you are interested in writing for the blog, please come write. We have Dear Other Girls, really quick, is our new segment. I'm going to come out once, maybe twice, maybe even three times a week. And if you are having any problems, you need advice on anything from boy trouble, from friendship trouble, from refrigerator trouble, from work trouble. If you need advice, this is absolutely an episode you need to watch, by the way. Melanie is very animated. If you have any type of trouble and you want our advice, email us at dearothergirl@gmail.com. Oh, and we have our fall meetup October 14th at a pumpkin patch. We're going to take cute pictures. I'm going to be promoting a lot more because we really want people to come. If you live in Charlotte and you are really wanting to have like a good girl community of Christian girls, of girls who have similar values, I want to be doing these at least once a quarter. Events just for us to gather around and just have fun, like just regular clean fun. We get a lot of messages about girls who are trying to make friends. And if you don't have anyone to go with, come. People will want to be your friend too. So just come. It's October 14th. We have the link on the website, and I'll also link it in on our blog post about this episode, and get the app. And that's it. Are you ready for the episode, we have a question of the week, and then did you hear, and then main stories. But let's just get started. Here we go. Okay. So here's the question of the week. Everybody. I'm going to say for the entire episode, make sure you were watching
this. I just pretended to pour my drink on myself.
I also think it's really funny. You picked up the empty mug. You absolutely could have picked up your completely filled water.
You know, isn't the thing like tea?
Yeah, that's true. It could be with whatever, but you know, I'm using my
we're spilling the
Stanley Yeti type mug.
That's true.
Anyway, so all right, so we're gonna skip down to one of the topics. Like, here's our now we're gonna do main stories, and I think Melanie has a lot to say on this topic. Okay. We're skipping down to the Tinder thing. Because okay. I'm going to share the story, we're going to talk about the story, and then we're going to shift the topic a little bit. Huh. So, here's some Tinder news. The Verge, and this is from The Verge. Tinder Select is a $499 per month plan for Tinder's number 1%. Tinder's new high-end plan says it will improve your chances with the most sought-after users and let you message people you are not matched with. Tinder announced a $499 per month invite-only subscription, Tinder Select, on Friday. As part of the premium plan, subscribers can message people they're not matched with, while the most sought-after users will see their profiles. Tinder says it only offers a plan to less than 1% of its users it considers extremely attractive, and the applicants will open up on a rolling basis. We know there are a subset of highly engaged and active users who prioritize more effective and efficient ways to find connections. So we engage in extensive tests and feedback with this audience over the past several months to develop a completely new offering, Tinder's chief product officer, Mark Van Rieck, said. If selected to apply, users will have to meet the company's 5-point selection screen. That means the profile must include a verified photo, biography, 5 interests, at least 4 images and details on what they're looking for in the relationship. If the applicant is approved, actually, I don't really care about the rest of the article. All I really want to talk about is how they're trying to get people to pay $499 per month to use Tinder. Do you want me to go first? Or actually, you go first. You go first.
Wait, okay, question. So, but this is only offered to the top 1%
of attractive people on Tinder, yes.
But if you're in the top 1%, would you even need this?
You would think not. I think so. Okay. Some dating app statistics really quick. You guys can look this up. I don't have exact numbers, but statistically, there are more men on apps like Tinder and Bumble and Hinge. There are more men on the app. And because there's more men on the apps, women are more picky, so they don't get as many matches as women statistically. Now, there's always going to be exceptions to the rules, but statistically, so what I'm thinking is this is going to be, I don't see a woman paying $499 for this app. I just don't. I see men who are in the 1% that fit these categories using attractive men, using that to message other attractive women. Just to get more, you know, because there's realistically, so I'm going to a wedding of someone who met someone on Tinder. I was this weekend, cool. Another one of my friends is married to someone she met on Tinder. Another one is married to someone she met on Facebook dating. So like, whoa. It's possible. Actually, I know quite a few people who have met people online. So it's definitely possible. I do. I am very blessed. I'm very blessed to have a lot of friends. No, I do. Like, I do. And I'm blessed about that. I'm grateful. Love you all if you're listening. What was I going to say? But they're getting married. So the purpose is you're not supposed, in my opinion, you're not supposed to be on there so much that you are getting all these different matches. The idea is to match with someone and then, like, get off the app. You know, like, it's... This doesn't feel as if this is... To me, it just kind of... This sounds more hookup culture-y. But I don't think that you... Just because you participate in the app means you're a part of hookup culture. I think that the app is trying to promote it, though. Did that answer your question? Whatever, I forgot what your question was.
It was if this $499 a month is only available to the top 1%, or if this is available to anyone. Okay, that doesn't make sense to me, because I feel like if you are the top 1%, wouldn't you have found somebody? Like,
But
I feel like this would be a program that the bottom 1% would be like, I need this. I will gladly pay $4.99.
But that's the assumption people are on it to get married. So people are on it just to meet other people to have sex with, unfortunately.
So somebody would pay $400. Oh, now my wheels are turning. So this is like somebody paying $4.99 a month, so that they can meet and sleep with whoever they want.
Mm-hmm.
That is quite the investment.
Yes.
Or I guess it's not that much in comparison to other forms of meeting people to have sex with.
I feel like... $500 is a lot of money. I mean, I don't know the price of this type of stuff. I don't participate. But, and the other thing is, I think it's going to get... They're saying they're doing it for attractive people. I really think they're going to do it for people who... Because you can already pay for different levels on Tinder. This is what I'm guessing. Because all it is about money. Like, they don't care about these people's sanity. They don't care that they're promoting hookup culture. What I'm thinking is they're going to say it's the top attractive 100 people, but I bet they're going to look at who has spent, I think there's like a $50 a month plan, and I bet they're going to look to see who has spent $50 a month for the past like 3 or 4 years or something like that, and they're probably tracking like all those factors. So I think there's going to be people who aren't that attractive.
Because they're like, okay, you are attractive. You already pay the monthly plan, and you're still using the app. Equals, you don't want to fall in love. I think deep down, people are longing for unconditional love. I agree. I do believe that deep down, we are longing for a love that does not fade, that is, you know, everlasting. But people are just looking for that in all the wrong places, and they're scared of what that looks like. They're scared of getting hurt, et cetera, et cetera. So they're like, I would just rather have sex with strangers.
Yeah. It's sad to think that someone would pay $500 a month for Tinder. That was my first reaction. Like, oof, people who sign up for that, that's sad. But I think this is a good time for us to transition to discuss dating etiquette for apps. We have not discussed that on this podcast. I have a couple do's and don'ts.
Etiquette and protocol.
And we're officially in cuffing season. What'd you say?
I said etiquette and protocols.
Yes.
Etiquette is like unspoken rules, but protocols are the rules.
Melanie, okay, that is, yes, dating etiquette and protocols for apps. It is cuffing season, and the next couple of holidays are like couples-centric holidays from now into February. So I know a lot of people listening are probably going to be on the apps. They're probably interested in meeting someone, and I think we should go over, like, what are some good practices. What are some good things that you should be doing, you should not be doing? Because I think that I just think we're about to enter that, and I want to be helpful. Mm-hmm. As someone who has been on dating apps for way too long, since I was 18, 17, or I think 17 or 18.
Since 2007?
No, I was in the seventh grade. Since I was 18 or 17.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay, really quick. I want to share my first experience.
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay, so I was a senior in high school.
Okay.
And long story short, I met this guy through this like program over the summer before my senior year. And I thought he was so cute and we flirted and everything. And then one day he just stopped showing up. So I was like, okay.
Whoa, that makes sense. Why do they always be like that though?
But wait, October, that same program had like another program. He came to that program and he specifically said he came because he was hoping he would see me. So we traded emails. I want to say we traded phone numbers too, but we definitely traded emails.
Emails?
What? Yeah. So long story short, he was in foster care. And I guess he had, maybe we were 17 then, if he was still in foster care. Or maybe he was 18. We were 18. I know we were the same age. We were like 2 weeks apart in age. Anyway, neither here nor there. So we traded emails first, and then we would talk on the phone. And I was like so into him. Because he was also kind of like a baddish boy. And like, I was not, in high school, like at this point, I hadn't even had my first kiss. Like in high school, I just wasn't dating or anything like that. So I was just like super into him. And then I find out, because we ended up being friends on Facebook, I find out that he was dating someone at his school. So heartbroken. I was so heartbroken. So, you know, and then he blocked me and everything. You know how it was in high school. So I still hadn't had my first kiss or anything like that. And I was just so sad. And one of my friends who was a public school kid. I know. But she was going to our school now. She told me about this app called Meet Me. Have you heard of that?
Yeah,
So she told me about Meet Me. It was like, hey, there are tons of guys on here that will find you really cute. You should try this app. So I'm like,
I don't know.
Yeah, it's awful. I would not put a child on there. I mean, I guess I wasn't a child. I was 18 or 17. I think I was 18. I was 18. So you had to be 18 to get on the app. So I'm on the app and I am found attractive. You know, I'm messaging different guys and, well, they're messaging me. I'm messaging them back. I'm finally getting the attention and everything. And then one day I get this call from this girl. It's not even going the way y'all think. I get this call from this girl and she goes, I don't even remember the guy's name. So-and-so is in jail and needs bail money and needs you to come and get him. I hung up immediately and blocked the number.
No, it was AI.
What? The call?
Yeah, I don't believe that.
No, Melanie, I'm telling you. I'm like, not joking. She called and she said, so-and-so is in, let's call him Robert. Robert is in jail and he needs bail money and he needs you to come pick him up. That scared me. Cause like, I've never had, like, that's just not, I didn't grow up around anything like that.
Yeah.
That scared me. I got off the app for probably about a month. And then I got back on. So I have stories galore. That's my first experience. Maybe I'll share more stories another time. Stories galore about people I've met through apps.
Can I share a story I have of online dating?
Yes, please. Okay. Please do. Because this will give people, like, they know we know what we're talking about. Like, we have been through this. Like, we are experts even. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
So I was on OkCupid. And I got on OkCupid because I like that you could put that there's a setting to say that you are Christian, and then there's a setting to say how often you go to church. So you can be like, I'm a Christian and I go every Sunday. There was like a spectrum of what that meant to you. You could put that on your profile. And so I was like, okay. And this was in college. And I matched with this guy. I think his name was Christian. And I think. And I thought he looked so cute. I thought he looked so handsome. And his profile also said that he was Catholic and that he's like a churchgoer. So I was like, wow, check, check, check. And then we met up at like a boba tea place with board games. And I don't know if I told anyone like where I was going or why I was going there. Like, I'm just saying as like a note of like, if you're going alone, ideally you would want to tell a friend or someone where you're going. And
protocol number one.
Yeah. Protocol. Yeah. Number one, that is the rule. You have to tell someone where you're going. And I'm like, not against like in TV shows, like you have your friend in the restaurant also like just hidden around the corner like, or just, you know, by herself waiting for the signal for her to come save you. But anyways, my point of the story is that we went on a couple more dates, but then we just like phased out and we didn't keep talking, and that was that. And he was like, on the outside, like physically, he was like, wow, like rico suave. Like, I thought he was so handsome, but then his personality was so bleh. Like, it was just so like, I wish if he had the personality I wanted, I would have like fallen in love. But it just goes to show that even the most like attractive person, the person that you're like, wow, this is my type, like they may not be appealing like personality wise. And so that died out and we just didn't keep talking, and I'm glad it didn't work out.
Amen.
Amen. And that's the story I wanted to share.
No, I think, and you had a lot of good nuggets in there. I think it's one thing that dating apps, I think, have done in a negative is make us so focused on looks. Mm-hmm. And I mean, really, that's all, like, that's the number one thing you're looking at on a dating app, whether you want to admit it or not. Of course, statistically, women do read the bios more than the men. So, of course, you know, we're reading the bios, but what you're not even going to look at the bio if you don't like what you're looking at. So that is kind of sort of a negative of that, but I think that's just something to keep in mind when you are going on dates with these guys. Yes, if he's attractive, but he has nothing going on up here, if he, you know, lies about really being a Christian, because I've gotten that a couple times.
Ooh, that's horrible.
I've gotten the, when was the last time you went to church? Christmas. So I've gotten that, you know, and it's like May. So I've gotten that a couple times. So I think that those are just some things to remember.
Christmas. So, and it's November.
Right. Well, and that's just like, that's another thing. That's not really a rule or etiquette or anything like that. It's just something like that I've learned when, actually, I think I might have this on here.
You should do a whole Those Are the Girls segment of like Mallory's like dating failures, or like just and, like all like the weird, funny, horrible, joyful, laughable stories.
That actually would be a really good Patreon episode too. Like, maybe I'll do a couple, like a teaser, and then I'll do a Patreon for like the really yes. like good ones. Yeah, you guys let me know if that's something you would be interested
all
in.
All the juicy ones, like that one boy in D.C. or was
it
D.C.?
Yeah. No, Atlanta. It was in Atlanta.
Oh, with the unforgettable kiss.
Yeah.
But you'll have to join the Patreon to hear the story.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And know why it was unforgettable.
Yes, exactly. But before I do the Patreon, I do want to go over some things. I made like a list of some stuff, some do's. And Melanie, chime in if you want to add or anything like that. The first do I have is be honest. I think sometimes you can get nervous, and because the idea is like, we want, if most girls, I don't care what anyone tells you, most girls want someone to love them, to protect them, and to let them know everything's going to be okay, to grow old with, to love themselves. Like, one thing I miss about being in love is, like, loving someone. That is such a fun feeling to, like, love someone and put the time and attention toward, like, helping them and, like, you know, assisting them in their growth. One thing that I really liked when I was in a relationship, my last relationship, was he was very excited about topics I could not care less about. But when he would start talking about it, he would get really excited. And I really liked that. And I think most girls want that. So you have to be honest. You know, don't say everything I just said in a paragraph and be like, this is what I'm looking for. But be honest when you're on there. So if you really aren't looking for a hookup, I do think you don't have to put not looking for a hookup, because every time I talk to guys about that, they say those are the girls that are the freakiest in a negative way. So don't put that there, because then you're going to get bad attention. But when you're talking to someone on the app and they're asking you, because I get it all the time, what are you here for? You don't say what you think they want you to hear, or don't say what you think they want to hear. Say genuinely, I'm here for a relationship. I always say I'm here for friends, because I do, in the, like, ideally I would like a friends to lovers arc. So I say I'm looking for good friendships. And if it turns to something more, great. Because I also have made I've actually made 3 really good friends from the dating apps. Like, I genuinely, like, really good friends I would invite to my wedding type of friends. And we chat occasionally still. I have met over the years. So, like, I really genuinely am looking for a friend. And then, you know, if it grows, it grows. So I think that's really important to be honest. Do you have anything to add to that?
In addition to being honest, want to add, be yourself.
That's a good one.
And that's because, like, and even to this day, I still reflect, but it's not as important anymore. But of, like, questions of, like, why didn't those boys ask me out? Like, I, in college, was in the, like, Catholic student group, and there were plenty single men, and I was very much single at the time, and, you know, I'm outgoing and I'm just me, and I for a long time was really puzzled, like, they were single, I was single, they were Catholic, I was Catholic, why didn't they ask me out? I'm just like, what? But reflecting back, there was just something of, like, me being myself that they didn't find attractive, and in the end I'm thankful, because it did lead me to my now husband and the father of my child. And so be yourself, even though maybe like similarly to younger Melanie, it may hurt the rejection of, like, why didn't they go for me, what did they not like about me? Well, in the end, God willing, there will be someone who will love those things about you, the things that the other guys thought were weird or unattractive or quirky in the most negative ways, whatever. Like, ideally, those things that make you and special, somebody will like and find them attractive and want to be with that. So I just wanted to add that tidbit of be honest and don't be afraid to be yourself, because you deserve someone who loves you for you and not the you that you think they would like.
And to add to that really quick, one thing that I've always remembered someone said to me once is, like, if you go into a relationship pretending to be someone else, you're going to have to keep pretending to be that person to keep the person that you're trying to get. And that's exhausting. That is so exhausting. You're not going to want to do that. So when you are in that relationship, sorry, you guys, 1 second. When you do get on the apps and everything, and you're going through the relationships and things like that, be yourself. Like, you don't want to have to fake and pretend to be someone that you're not. Number one of the don'ts. So this one is something that is probably going to be a little controversial, but it's the truth, and I really want to make sure I say this. It is, don't be shocked if Christian men don't want to be abstinent. Take it in strides. So what does that mean? A lot of Christian men on the apps actually don't want to be abstinent. They will say that they're Christian. They'll say that, and this is for girls who are abstinent that want to be abstinent. They're going to say that they're abstinent. They're going to say that they're Christian. They're going to say all these things, but they're really not. And I really think that it's important for you to be aware of that. And I think if someone is saying that they're not abstinent, especially as a woman, a man telling you they're not abstinent, then I think that's just like a sign to move on. I think that if the guy does not want to be abstinent in a relationship, it's going to be very, very difficult for the girl to be abstinent. I have tried to make it work with a guy who said, well, that's not my thing, you know, and you're right, I'm a Christian, I should be, that's not my thing, but I'll respect that it's your thing. Ugh, and then it still doesn't, like, it just doesn't work.
Yeah,
so you really, totally. Like, as girls, we really have to try to only, like, just only be with a guy that wants to be abstinent.
Yeah.
Now, is totally. That going to get a lot of, so one thing that has happened with me is we get to the, okay, so what are you on here for? I'm on here for the, and the guy, okay, I'm kind of only on here for a hookup, or not even a hookup, like, I'm on here, yeah, I guess you could say for a hookup or whatever. And then I go, oh, and just an FYI, I'm abstinent. And then I'm like, he was responding back really quickly. I wonder why he hasn't responded. And you go and open the app and you're no longer matched. So that happens, you know, that's just kind of something, that's why I think it's really good to get it out of the way, like, within the first couple of hours, really, of you talking. You know, the first message doesn't have to be, are you abstinent? Like, it doesn't have to be that. Like, it's kind of aggressive. But, you know, I think within the first couple of hours, or within the first day, maybe the first 24 hours, I think it needs to come up, because you don't want to waste your time and you don't want to waste his time. I just think that's really important. Melanie, do you want to add to that?
I want to echo what you just said of, like, it's hard if you're with someone who isn't 100% in agreeance on that. I was the last person I was in a serious relationship with before Jerry, he constantly wanted to lead me to sin. And I would, like, always, like, I would go on a retreat, I would, like, do different activities, and then I would always come back on this, like, Jesus high, on this chastity high, and then I would be, like, motivated, and I would tell him, like, I don't want to do these things, I don't want to do, like, XYZ. And he completely, like, he felt that if we removed those physical things, that equaled that I did not love him. And I was like, I can love you, and we also don't have to do those things. And right. And I wish I was just wise enough. I wish somebody slapped me across the face. Like, he's not the one to be with if he doesn't care about your soul. And if he doesn't, I don't even want to say that he, like, to be with a guy that's like, okay, I respect that, I'll make that work. Like, it should be something he should want too for his own soul. Like,
exactly. Exactly.
It shouldn't just be okay, for my girl, I'm willing to do this. Like, oh, you should want this too for our own, like, sanctity. Like, what? So I definitely agree with what you said of, like, be honest that I'm saving sex for marriage, and I'm proud of it. Like, I hope that doesn't bother you. And like, once I met Jerry, like, that was one of the first conversations we had, and it was, like, already from his point of view, like, he already, before ever meeting me, like, came to that same conclusion of, like, yeah, I want to save sex for marriage. Like, it wasn't something that one of us were on different pages on, and so I just want to encourage that it shouldn't be like a, I'll do this for you because you're my girl. Yeah. Or like I said, that if you're there, if I want to be chased and he's not, it was so difficult because he always wanted to leave me to sin and it just had no respect for when I would try to put up those boundaries, when I would try to say, I don't want to do these things. He just had like no respect. So he was not the one. Hope he's doing well now.
I hope he got himself together.
I hope so. He didn't, but there's still hope.
So second do. This is a tough one for us ladies who are working on our self-esteem. But this is, I think, really important to do. Post full body pics. What does that mean? Ooh. That means a pic of you, your entire body, standing. Does not mean a bikini picture or, you know, one of those like weight loss pictures, you know, when they're wearing the sports bra and underwear and they're like turning to the side. You don't have to do all that. But I do think where posting a full body picture is important because I think it's part of like being honest. I like when guys post full body pictures. I personally don't think that matters. I've talked about this ad nauseum on this podcast. I really think we should be looking at people's souls. I don't think that how they look totally should matter. Obviously, I don't mean if someone makes you want to vomit that you should be with them. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying like it just doesn't, I just don't think it matters. But the reality is you're on an app and you have to attract a man and they care about the look. So I think it's really good and important for you to post a full body. You want to add anything to that?
Something I heard once is that something that is beautiful can become more beautiful. Like, let's say yes, there's a really good, you know, guy or girl, and you know their soul and their personality is beautiful, then their outsides will become beautiful too because you will love them for their insides. And yeah,
I agree. I've had that happen where like I thought a guy was like okay, but I got to know them better and I was like, oh wow, I'm like in love with him, he's so attractive all of a sudden. And I've had it happen the opposite way. I remember there was this guy I went to school with and I thought he was so handsome. I finally got to get to know him. I'm like, oh my God, this is not a good person. And all of a sudden he just became like very unattractive to me. It was almost instant. As soon as I got to know who he truly was, like terrible personality. Yeah. Okay. So my don't, this is one that I see girls do. I don't think they mean it in a malicious way, but I have seen girls do this. Don't lead anyone on. If you're really not feeling it, just go ahead and end it. Because it's not fair to that person and it's not fair to you. I think sometimes it's hard because I do think 3 dates should be what you do if you are unsure. I think the first date, okay, this episode's going longer than I thought, but that's okay. This will be the last story. I think you should do 3 dates. The first date, I think, is the date that you get to know each other, and it can be a little awkward. So if you, at the end of the day, if you're not sure, I think you should do a second date. And then if you're still not sure, do one more date. And if you're still not sure, I think that kind of says you don't want this person by the third date. I think if the first date you're like, absolutely not, then just go ahead and end it. But I don't think after the third date and you're still not sure, I don't think that it's fair to you or that person. So I do think we have to be better as women not to lead guys on for a lot longer. I don't think that women, you know, if you listen to any of the Red Pill guys, you're like, yeah, because women, they want free meals and they want blah, blah, blah. I don't think that all women are like that. I think sometimes women just don't know and you want to give guys a chance, especially if you like their personality or you think they're attractive or, you know, they have other good qualities, you want to give them a chance, so then you're drawing it out longer. But if you are still unsure after the third date, I do think it's time to just go ahead and move on. What are your thoughts on that?
So there's a movie, a documentary called It's literally called The Dating Project.
Oh.
Have I told you about it before?
No.
Okay. So it's a documentary, and it's of a professor. I forget at what university. And she, in her class, she will assign a dating project. And maybe it's like a social
experiment.
Some type of social science class. What do you call it? Sociology. Oh. Problem. Maybe it's something like that. And the point is to get people to learn how to date effectively and healthily. And so you can go to thedatingprojectmovie.com, and I think you have to pay to watch the movie. But the curriculum of the assignment is free to download. And I want to read the assignment that she gives her students to do. So here's the dating assignment rules. 1. Ask, this is not really applicable to online dating, but maybe some of these rules can apply. 1, ask in person. No text messages, no Facebook, no Snapchat, no Instagram. Face-to-face, eye-to-eye, IRL. 2, the date then needs to be within 3 days. Waiting longer creates unnecessary anxiety, invites drama, and sets the stage for unsolicited, or worse, solicited opinions and advice. 3, a romantic interest. Pick someone that catches your eye, a romantic interest. Think possible, not soulmate. 4, somebody new. This should not be a date with a person whom you've dated before. 5, be open and honest. Avoid the dreaded accidate. While you do not have to use the word date, make sure you're clear this is a date. 6, only 45 to 90 minutes. Leave them wanting more and give yourself a hard out if you don't find yourself wanting more. 7, make a plan. So what do you want to do? Take initiative to plan the date. Show you respect their time. 8, you ask, you pay. Make it clear the person is worth the money and you're worth the investment too. 9, but only $10. You're not a spendthrift, but geez, you're not royalty either, unless you are. Then still $10. 10, no touchy. How far is too far? An A-frame hug at the end of the date is far enough, so no bodily touching hugs. 11, tell 3 people. Cold feet happen, but it's less likely if you've got support. Only 3 teammates, though. TMZ is everywhere. Oh, TMZ is everywhere. Okay. And then the last rule is go alone. You've got support, but for the love of Pete, no wingman, best friend, or group dates. And those are the rules. And furthermore, in the movie and maybe in the dating curriculum that you can download, she talks about the 3-date rule that you just said of, like, if you want to still get to know somebody, you're kind of interested, you want to see where it goes, maximum 3 dates. And if you continue dating, then you should be exclusively dating. But it's okay to, like, date other people while you're still in the first, like, 3 dates. Like, you could go with multiple people because you're not settled down with anybody. But if you want to keep going with somebody, then you should be exclusively dating after the 3rd date.
Well, you've never told me this. So me knowing intuitively about the 3 dates is like, wow. I really, like, I've actually matched people before. Like, I have friends that are married now because I introduced them. I am so good at this. I'm not sure why I am still single, because I'm so good at this. But that is actually really interesting. That'd be a fun thing to, like, watch. And I'll link everything down. That'd be fun to watch and maybe do a Patreon on as well.
It's called thedatingprojectmovie.com.
Let me like write that down. The Dating Project
Movie. The movie is literally called The Dating Project. And in the movie, you get to follow several different students. We get to see them do the face-to-face, asking somebody out. We get to hear how did it go, asking somebody out. And
that's, yeah. Okay, that's really interesting. And these are just really good tips, because I know that we're just in that season of life right now, of the year, where everything's like couple-oriented. It's cuffing season. Everybody wants to date. And at the end of the day, we all, like Melanie said, we all want to be known. We all want to be loved. So I just really want to give some tips. I have about one more each, and then we'll wrap this up. So another one that I have a do is open your mind for guys who are not your type. What does that mean?
Totally.
I think that in our heads we have pictured who we find very attractive, who we like. For example, Zachary Levi and Charles Melton are the most handsome people that have ever graced earth. I mean, it's just God was in his bag when he created them. And I wouldn't say they're my type, because they don't look anything alike, but I find them very attractive. My point is, if I see someone on an app that has very similar values as me, who has a funny profile, because comedy is very important to me. If you make me laugh, you can have my heart. So like, if I see all these things, but he doesn't look like Charles Melton or Zachary Levi, I shouldn't, you know, be like, no, not him. I should open my mind to it. You know, like, we have a type for a reason. Sure. That's what my friend always says, because she disagrees with this. We have a type for a reason, sure, but I truly feel like we could be missing out on someone who is a true companion, a true partner, a true lover, someone who we could grow with if we are just sticking with strictly physical. Melanie, what do you think? Yeah.
Charles Melton is definitely also my type.
So handsome. Oh, yeah. I mean, and you married I think Charles is Korean.
In the movie, the son is also a star. He played a Korean character, and I think he spoke Korean, but I can't find that he's Korean when I just look up his name. Yeah.
Charles Martin is just... anyway, continue.
Yeah, I agree that you gotta, it's good to give somebody a chance, just like how you would want someone to take a chance on you. And like I said earlier, like, beauty becomes more beautiful when you learn somebody's soul and their personality, and then suddenly they're attractive on the outside, and then you realize they always were. And so I definitely agree. It is good to take a chance, but then also don't be like me. Don't stay with somebody just because you're like, I'm trying to give him a chance. Like, girl, get out of there. Like, if he's dumb, yeah, if he's stupid, like, get out. If he is not the personality you want, doesn't care about your soul, like, bye.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think really quick to that, the give a guy a chance. I absolutely hate when girls are like, no, he's just not, like, give him a chance.
Charles is half Korean. He's born in Alaska.
He was born in Alaska?
He was born in Alaska. His mom's from Korea. His dad's American. Girl, so he's familiar. He's literally my type.
He is so... I mean, every time he was on the screen, I was just like, oh, he's so handsome.
He's so handsome. Wow. So handsome. I love his duck lips. They're like,
okay,
so...
Okay, is that what that's called?
I mean, I think his lips, like, naturally, like, they look like a duck. That's what I think. I'm like, duck. Anyways.
And I, personally, I like, as someone with bigger lips, I do... like that, So I just think he's just so handsome. Like, yeah, his face is holding. Anyway, that doesn't matter. We're moving.
We have the same type of men.
What'd you say?
We have the same type of men that we like.
Well, look up Zachary Levi. Let me know how you feel about Zachary Levi.
No, I looked him up. No. I mean, he's not ugly, but I'm not interested.
Those are my two, like, I think those are the two most handsome men ever on this earth. Now, do they look anything alike? Absolutely not. Do they have anything in common? I think they both have black hair, and that's about it. But I just think they're both so, like,
Yeah.
But once again, if whoever God has for me doesn't look like that, that's okay, too.
That's okay, too.
That's okay, too. Okay, so
I would end up with, like, a Mexican boy, just because of my odds of where I live, where I'm from. I just thought I would end up with a Mexican, and then that did not happen. And that's okay, because it's the soul that matters.
Amen.
Not the race.
And then, so my last don't, I have don't meet someone at their house first. In college, especially at the beginning, I was very naive. So if you're listening and you grew up Christian and you just don't have, no one told you, I want to let you know, because I didn't know. If a guy's asking you to meet at his house or his dorm, he probably doesn't have the best intentions for you. So it's good to just meet somewhere in public, like a restaurant, a coffee shop. I did not know. I remember, real quick story, met this guy, and he was a senior in college. I was a freshman, and he showed interest in me. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm so into this. Like, we went out to dinner, and then he was like, hey, do you want to watch Breaking Bad at my dorm? And I'm like, oh yeah, cool. I've never seen it. So I'm sitting here, like, trying to watch the show. And he, like, leaned over to, like, kiss me, and I'm like, I haven't seen this. And he, like, please get off of me. We gotta, like, are you watching what's on the screen? Like, this is important. And then he's kind of like reaching over to touch me, and I'm just like, what is he? The show. That's what I'm thinking. Turns out, not only did he not want to watch the show, he didn't care about the show, and he had never seen it himself. Long story short, he got frustrated that I wasn't picking up what he was putting down. He explicitly explained it to me. I said, oh no, that's not why I'm here. I thought we were watching the show, and then I left, and then we just saw each other awkwardly on campus for the rest of the year. So, point being, if I knew, I would have said, oh no, I'm not going to go back. I'll watch Breaking Bad in my own dorm, and we can debrief tomorrow about the episode that we saw in our own separate dorms. If I had known. So just, I think it's really important. And even as a young adult, I always try, you know, now we don't have dorms. As a young adult, I always try not to go to someone's house if they're like, oh, hey, let's hang out first or something like that. I try to meet at a restaurant or a coffee shop. And when I lived in my apartment by myself, only one guy, I got to the level where I invited him over, and we legitimately just watched something. And it was, but like, when I was in Virginia Beach, I was, you know, dating and trying to meet someone. So when I would go on dates with guys, we would be somewhere public. It would be somewhere where we wouldn't be too private. I don't think I went to any of the guys' houses. Like I said, one guy came over, we watched Rick and Morty, and I made him dinner. And then it was just kind of like, didn't work out. Well, and then another guy I dated, we actually went to each other's houses all the time. But my point is, this is at the beginning. When you're first meeting someone, especially off of an app. I mean, we can meet crazy people in church. I met my last ex-boyfriend out of church. So there can be terrible people wherever you go. But I do think, realistically, statistically, that it's heightened when you meet someone in an app. Because at least if you meet them in real life, they might have someone that can vouch for them. All that to say, don't go to someone's house and then don't have them come to your house.
I have a similar story.
Share it.
But I was in high school, and I think I was a junior and he was a senior, and like we both rode the same bus. So he lived just like the other street over down the block, like just, you know, really close. And I guess I was starting to think like, oh, maybe he likes me. Like maybe there's something. And I guess at some point we exchanged numbers or maybe we messaged on Instagram. I don't know how. And he invited me over. And I think he said he would like make me a grilled cheese sandwich or something. And same like you, I'm thinking we're just gonna eat some grilled cheese sandwiches together. Like I literally had no idea that this boy would have wanted to have sex with me. Like what? And let me tell you. So this girl who, the family across the street, the daughter who was just a year older than me, a grade older than me, she saw me that like I just got home from school. My parents weren't home yet. I was walking down the street by myself and she was outside doing yard work. And she asked me like, I don't know why she felt the need to ask me. It must have been the Holy Spirit, like looking back. But she was kind of like, where are you going? And I was like, oh, I'm going to Kyle is his name, Kyle's house. And she's like, really? Like she was starting to like get on me, like, you know what's gonna happen. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like I literally
I'm hungry, like he has like, food, of course.
Looking back, she probably thought I was giving her like the best worst sarcasm, like that I was just like, what are you talking about? But I was literally like, what are you talking about? She's like, you know what's gonna happen. And I was like, I don't know. And it wasn't until I feel like years later that I finally was like, oh, she thought I was gonna go have sex with that boy. And then she was getting on me like, when you're home alone, that's what you're doing. But when I'm home alone, I'm out here taking care of the house, like doing yard work. And I'm like, okay, like, and I didn't know that's what was going through her mind. And that's what was going through his mind. I'm right there with you.
Ladies, if this is your first time learning this, I'm sorry for the shock, because it is shocking, because I know for me, like, I really felt, up until college when I had these experiences, I really thought we were all as a society on the same page on a lot of things. So it could be a shock, but I just want to let you know that not everyone that invites you to their house has good intentions.
And I know that, like, you, like, I was like, so are we gonna like make the grilled cheese sandwiches? Like, I was like,
where's your cheese, sir? Like, let's get it started. I'm hungry. Yeah.
I thought you would have it ready by the time I walked here, but like, right? I'm not even like, kidding. And then eventually I realized, like, this is awkward. And then I was like, well, my dad's probably coming home soon, so I'm gonna go, like, and then I just left, and like I said, still didn't understand. I was thinking, like, why was that so awkward? Like, why didn't he have the sandwich ready, like he said? Like, huh? Like,
and once again, ladies, like, if this is your first time hearing this information, this is good for you to know, because not everybody, I mean, I've told the story to friends before and they're like, really, you didn't know? And I'm like, I genuinely did not know. Not everybody knows and everybody grows up like that. So I think it's important to just be aware of, because that's just how the world is right now. So just always be cautious. Don't go to someone's house and don't have someone go over the very first couple of times you meet them. And then the last thing I have, and we'll wrap up on this, is I think it's really important, if you're like, I'm going to date to marry, I'm taking this very seriously, to have a list of negotiables and non-negotiables. I think that, I grew up Christian. The way I grew up, I should have been married by 23, had my first kid by 25, 26 at the latest. And we would be going to church and living, you know, white picket fence and, you know, all this other stuff. So growing up, I've written the list 1,000 times. What you want in a boy? I've done the whole thing before where you write a letter to your future husband. So I've done that. Been there. Huh?
I said classic.
Yeah, been there, done that, wrote the book on it. So I do think, though, it is important to do negotiables and non-negotiables. So what does that mean? There are some non-negotiables that I think are things that if you were to meet someone, and the reason why I think it's important to write it down and have it is so when you do match with someone and you're like, oh, I really like this guy, I don't know how I feel about him, you can look back at that list. And when you look at that list, you can kind of see if he matches for it. So non-negotiables for, I'll say for myself, a Christian woman, is that they have a, I used to put Christian. As I've gotten older, I put a personal relationship with Jesus. What right. does that mean? That means someone who has a prayer life, someone who goes to church regularly, someone who is seeking a relationship with Jesus, someone who actually wants to intentionally going to church, intentionally praying, someone who's in a Bible study, or at least has a group of other Christian men, that for me is a non-negotiable when it comes to truly like, okay, I'm dating to marry. That's a non-negotiable. Another one would be morality. Being pro-life is incredibly important to me because I think that that one thing, whether people realize it or not, it trickles down to a bunch of other things. So that is just something that's like a non-negotiable. Like I cannot marry someone who is not pro-life. I cannot marry someone who is not just, no, I don't watch porn, but they're not actively anti-porn. Like these are just not, so once again, this is a non-negotiable for me. And what was another, so these are just like examples of a non-negotiable. So a negotiable would be, I really want someone who, and this is gonna be hard for me to say, who can sit and enjoy and quote community with me. That is very important to who I am as a person. And I want someone who can do that. But if I did meet someone and they've never seen community, that is a negotiable. Will that be hard? Do I sometimes in my head want to put that as a non-negotiable? Sure. But I do think if I'm being honest and realistic, that is a negotiable. I see a Freudian slip. I almost said a non-negotiable. It is a negotiable. So it's tiny things like that.
Yeah.
Personally, like physical features. And I know people act like that's just like, no, I need someone 6 feet, blah, blah, blah. First of all, I don't care about height. I'm 5'3" and a half. Everybody's tall to me. But I know a lot of people, it's important for them to have someone 6 feet or taller, or like at least 5'11". I think that should be a negotiable. Physical features. Like I've said before, Charles Melton, and I will say Charles Melton and Zachary Levi, they both have dark features. So I like dark features. So that might not be, that's a negotiable if someone does not have dark features. So these are just things that I think are really important for you to already have when you are really taking it seriously. When you are like, okay, I am on this app because I want to meet my spouse. Mm-hmm. I think to have this list and make sure you, like I said, like negotiable, non-negotiable. And your non-negotiable should stay non-negotiable. And it's hard. I mean, let me tell you, like, I'm telling too many date stories, but this is my last date story. I don't want to ruin it. I went the last really good date I went on since, the last one I went on in 2021, this guy, my friend posted a picture of me and he was friends with her on like Instagram, on her story. And he was friends with her on Instagram. I was like, oh, she's really cute. What's her name? And then she gave him my number. So first of all, that is, to me, that's such a cute like way to meet. And, you know, we're messaging back and forth. We have similar likes. We like the same type of shows. We are both interested in politics. I'll get to that in a second. we have very good, like, chemistry. I thought he was very attractive. We went on a date. We took a picture. It's like, oh, we even look cute together. Y'all, we could not have been morally different. Could not have been morally different. I consider myself a Christian conservative. He considered himself a libertarian socialist. Now, Mallory, aren't they exact opposites of each other? Pretty much. What does that even mean? He didn't know. So, tiny things like that. We had the longest conversation. I want to say 3 hours on the phone one night about porn. And if you know anything about me, I'm very anti-porn. That's a non-negotiable for me. He made me so mad. He said something like, well, if you're just insecure. And I remember I was sitting on my bed when he said that, and I like stood up. If I am insecure. So that is an example of, like, you know, on paper, like, aside from our morals, everything, all of our negotiables aligned. He likes community as well. All of our negotiables aligned, but our non-negotiables did not. And it was hard. And I think about that person sometimes, because I'm like, wow, that would have been nice. That was the last, like, date I pretty much went on. But my point in bringing that up is your non-negotiables are important. Your non-negotiables are important. You have to stick with them for a myriad of reasons, but the main reason is because you're not going to be happy. That's the main reason. Melanie, you want to wrap this up? Tell us about what you think about negotiables and non-negotiables.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever made a physical list.
But did it make you do that in school?
No. I think I did make a list. Okay. My like first really bad breakup, heartbreak when I was like 16. I think I did make a list out of like anger, you know, in my heartbreak rage of like what I wanted, what I didn't want in a boy. And then funny, beautiful, quirky, mysterious. I don't remember, but somehow Jerry found that paper, like, that I completely forgot about, of what I did and didn't want in a boy anymore. And he found that. And then on our wedding night, like, I completely forgot this paper existed. He pulls it out, and then he reads to me what, like, 16-year-old Melanie said that she did and didn't want in a boy. And, of course, I'm, like, crying because I completely forgot that I had written that letter. And some things were, like, 16-year-old things you would want or wouldn't want in a boy. Like, is willing to have his parents drive me, and like not always my parents driving all the time, like things like that. And anyways, but a tip from that would be to maybe think of non-negotiables and negotiables that are timeless, not like that his parents would be willing to drive me home, or like, you know, like what are those like timeless non-negotiables? Like, he cares about his own soul. He's gonna care about your soul. He has to be funny. Yeah. Like, he has to make you laugh.
That's a non-negotiable.
Yes, like, if you don't laugh, like, you're gonna have a miserable life if you're not laughing. I think another non-negotiable is, like, this has to be your best friend. And I don't believe that. And I know
Melanie's going to say something that's going to annoy me, but go ahead.
What? Okay.
I know what you're going to say.
Controversial. I don't think guys and girls can be best friends. I think if a guy and a girl, I think if you are best friends, then that's the person you should marry. If that is your platonic opposite sex best friend, then you should be marrying that person if they are your best friend. Like, that makes the most sense. That should be a non-negotiable. And I was similar to you, Mallory, that I dated a guy when I was, you know, young, and he told me he was a Christian, and in my mind, I'm like, okay, like, that's good enough. Yeah. And then right. I went a step further, like, okay, he can't just say he's a Christian. Like, he needs to be living that out. He needs to want more of Jesus. Like, okay. And then, like, I just felt like I got, like, steps further, like, in this, like, okay, it can't just be, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Like, okay, like, I like,
because there's plenty
I
of
rose the I bar mean, as time went on of what does yes. that actually mean.
And I will say, like, if you live in North Carolina specifically, everyone and their grandmother believes in Jesus. Everyone and their grandmother attends a church occasionally. It's the Bible Belt. Like, everyone does. And I think that the reality is everyone does, but the church I went to, the reason why the church picked that area in Charlotte is because it's the most unchurched place in North Carolina. Or, I'm sorry, yeah, it's the place with the least amount of Christians or something like that in North Carolina. So, like, you're going to meet, but you go there, ask anyone. Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. Jesus is my dude. None of that matters if they don't have fruits and actions.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying to, like, be judgy. Not everybody's going to be perfect, you know? Totally. But I'm saying, like, if you don't see people putting forth an effort, then, especially as a woman, if you have to marry a man that's going to put forth an effort, because he's going to be leading you to Christ. I was watching, I don't remember if it was, okay, so during my last semester at Seton Hall, I was part of a focus Bible study, and I can't remember if we watched a video about this or if her boyfriend said this to her, but the point is, the guy during a proposal said this, and it resonated with me. I would love for a guy to say something like this to me. He said something along the lines of, will you marry me as I lead myself and our family to heaven, or something like that. And just the concept of a man who wants to be that leader spiritually, not just, you know, physically, like the red pill people, they want to lead you physically. They want to lead you, you know, they say they want to be able to, like, you to submit to them, but then they're not submitted to Christ. Scary stuff there, ladies. Scary stuff to submit to a man that's not submitted to Christ. Scary stuff. So my point is, you want someone who's going to lead you to heaven. I just, that really stuck with me. It might have been my leader's now husband. So I remember, last thing about this, I remember he was so, so kind. We went on a retreat and he opened the door for her and me. And I had never really seen anything like that before. And that just really resonated, that he didn't not only open the door for her, but for me. And he carried my luggage as well. He carried hers and mine without her even asking. What was so crazy, he opens the door for her, gets out of the car, and she automatically knew he was going to carry her luggage. And for me, that was just like, what? Oh my. And I don't mean, obviously I've seen my parents do it and my friends' parents do it, sure. I'm talking about people in, like, our generation. That is, I'm sorry, that's very rare. That's very, very rare. So, you know, tiny things like that are just things I think that are important in a relationship and something to look at. You know, if your guy is opening the door for you, that it just feels so like, oh, I'm loved. And if he's treating your friends the same way, I think that's really important too. Anything else you want to add about dating? This episode has kind of just turned into like a dating episode.
What you said, it's cuffing season.
It is cuffing season. So I want to make sure the girlies, you guys are ready to be out there when you go out and, you know, meet people on the apps, when you go out and meet people, when you go dancing, when you go out and meet people at church, at fall events. I want you girlies to be ready and prepared. I want to hear more wedding proposals. I want to see more babies from married parents. I want to see, that's specific. I want to see more engagements. I want to see more. So I really hope you guys do this. You want to add anything else?
And I want to add that I know sticking to your non-negotiables, it can be hard.
Yes, very.
In the last relationship I was in, I eventually, after all the red flags, the biggest red flag that finally I woke up and I was like, okay, this is the end, was when I realized if I married this boy, he was, well, one, he wasn't going to lead my soul to heaven. But then just in this, in the imaginary scenario of if we were married with children and if I died, would he continue to lead my children to heaven if I was not around? And that to me was very clear. Like, he would not, if I wasn't there to say, we're going to go to church and we're going to do this and that and this and that, I just imagined he would not, out of the love in his heart and for salvation, want to raise our children in that way. And so that to me was like, this is not the guy. And it was hard. But I'm thankful that God gave me the strength and that I ended that, because finally that was the biggest thing for me, was not only are you not going to lead me to heaven, but you would not lead children to heaven too. And I want to end on to please stay strong, even though, like I said, I know it can be hard. The heartbreak is, it's hard. Better to end it sooner, like I should have. But anyways, but hopefully one day, God willing, that you can present the non-negotiable list to your future husband or your then husband, or he'll somehow find the list that you forgot about and you can laugh about it and share joyful tears that that list was a helpful tool and it worked and it paid off, and you, and then you're beginning the rest of your days to get to heaven together. Amen.
Amen. Okay, so I just thought of one last thing, and then I'm for real ending this, you guys. Sorry. One last thing.
Okay.
For the girlies out here who do not, have a similar trajectory, maybe I'll say, who are in a season of waiting. You are not getting, you know, you're not on the dating apps, you're not getting axed out for whatever reason. I want to encourage you to still enjoy cuffing season. What do I mean by that? Be excited for your friends. Go out and have fun. Do a pumpkin patch day. Have a Galentine's. Do Friendsgiving. Still participate. Be excited and happy for your friends. Continue to encourage them. When your friend announces her engagement, be happy and excited for them and go about your life. Life is not over if you are alone again this Christmas. Does it sometimes suck? Of course. Do you want to have matching pajamas with somebody? Absolutely. But I think it's really important, even in cuffing season, during cuffing season, especially when everybody, you're going to notice everyone around you is getting, you know, dating and everybody's getting married and getting proposed to.
It is really important to, and pregnant.
It's really important for you to hold on to, like you, your friendships, to hold on to. Do you have other hobbies? Are there things that you find exciting? It's really, and to be excited, because I think that, and this is something that I have had to learn and grow myself, I think it's really important to be excited for your friends, and genuinely excited for your friends, because they're your friends. Like, okay, you're not where you want to be, but they're your friends. Be happy for them. I, for example, like Valentine's Day, I have a friend who's like, I don't really like when my friends are posting. And I, that's just not me. Like, I like when my friends post. I like seeing my friends being treated like queens. I like seeing their men, you know, going above and beyond. And it's not to say like, I, me. I'm a girl's girl. That's not why I'm saying that. I'm just saying, like, because your friend doing that has nothing to do with your current situation. So you should rejoice with them. You should be happy for them. So during the season, if you're, you know, if all your friends end up dating, if all your friends end up having, you know, someone to go with them to the Halloween party and they're doing couples costumes, so what? You do a fun single solo girl costume and enjoy yourself and have a good time. I just wanted to add that for the single girlies that might not be getting cuffed up this season. That's going to be the title of this episode. Something about cuffing. Like, it's cuffing season. Here's a guide and tips with your girls, Melanie and Mallory. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode. It was a very different episode than we normally do, but I think it was a good episode. I think people learned. I think you should share this with your friends. Let us know about if you see colors. Not if you see color. Yeah. Let us know if you can describe a color. Do you think it's a publicity stunt? Taylor and Travis Kelce are publicity stunts. Let us know. Let us know if there's any other rules that you would add to compared to the ones that Melanie showed and the ones that I shared. Is there any other do's and don'ts that you would add? I think that's it. Melanie, you want to add anything else to say to the young ladies out there watching?
Stay strong, ladies. Stay strong. And we got to be a community for each other. Be friends, be there for each other. But I will say, your man also shouldn't be your whole world. That should be God. And your man should not be your whole personality. You should still be you. And so if a girl's making her man her whole personality, who is she? Does she even know herself? What? Yeah. That cannot be healthy. And, you know, everybody's imperfect and we put out our best on social media. And so you may see that couple and it's oh, wow, they look perfect or whatever. But we never know what's going on underneath the surface, behind the photo. So it's all, you know. Just know, we don't actually know the state of people's souls and what is going on. How do they actually get along together? We don't know, you know? So, and stay strong. Hold on, ladies. Give it to God.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen.
You've been listening to Those Are the Girls with Melanie and Friends, and we are changing traditional culture and bringing back values.
Make sure you review, subscribe. Bye.
Bye.